Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The 0-1. In the air, right-hand side. Calhoun going back toward the wall into that corner. And this ball just barely clears the fence for Sevi Zavala's third home run. Sox taking advantage of Yankee Stadium.
95 exit velo, just above a hard-hit baseball. And it goes out.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock. Thank you, NBC Sports Chicago, for that highlight of the home run the other day by our next guest, Sebi Zavala, against the Yankees. Big night for Sebi. It was the Sebi Zavala game, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Sebi. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us, getting up and getting going. It has been quite a week for the White Sox. You guys have had three walk-off victories. You had your big game in New York. How would you describe just what has changed and why this is happening now?
We're playing good baseball now. We're coming together as a team, and we're making things happen. Our pitching staff has really carried us the last week, 2 weeks.
What do you see as the difference there as far as, let's start with the starting pitching. At the beginning of the year, it started off a little bumpy. What do you see has been the difference? Let's start with, let's just start with Michael Kopech and what you've seen from him and how you've seen him evolve as a pitcher. Last year, pitching hurt through most of the year. And now coming back healthy and being the pitcher he is right now. What do you see with Michael?
I mean, Kopech, he's throwing his fastball. His fastball is playing real well, and he's, for the most part, commanding it. I mean, whenever you're throwing your best pitch where you want it, when you want it, it's going to be a good day.
So, Sebi, obviously your role on the Sox is – to kind of be the stabilizer behind the plate and provide a little power when needed at the plate with the bat. How would you describe what happened the other night at Yankee Stadium, and how special of a memory was that when you hit your two home runs? And I would imagine that it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can help the team win, it doesn't matter how it is, behind the plate or at the plate, it's a good feeling. And fortunately, we were able to keep them under the three runs, and we were able to come out with the win.
When you look at the White Sox in the division, the conversation going on in the clubhouse since May 1st, you guys have been one of the better teams in the American League since May 1st. How has that changed? How has the dynamic changed in the clubhouse from when you guys were struggling, obviously, the first month of the year, and then from May 1st on, what have been some of the differences that you could share?
I mean, we're playing better baseball in general. Like, we're getting the timely hits, or our pitching is holding the other team down until we could score enough runs to win. It's just better baseball. We're making pitches when we need to, and for the most part, executing with that bat. We've got runners on.
How good is it to see Liam Hendricks back on the mound, besides the fact that he has inspired so many people, you know, away from baseball, just casual sports fans seeing what he has done to overcome cancer? What's it like to catch a guy who is just the epitome of everything that sports are supposed to be about, and what has that journey been like for you to watch firsthand, up close and personal?
Yeah, you know, regardless what sport or what job you have, anytime you battle cancer, it's can be a scary feeling, scary thoughts, and he's been able to battle that, and he's able to beat cancer, and now he's helping us win. Hopefully, he can hold down the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen, and help us continue add wins to the win column.
Sebi, I was talking to David at the beginning of our show, and we were talking about Lance Lynn and some of his struggles, and I was telling David that, you know, I've seen a lot of pitchers over the years that I've covered baseball, but the confidence of a Lance Lynn is right there with the top that I've ever seen, regardless of what type of outing he has, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You seem to see the same determination, the same body language every time. What do you see when you see him pitch, and where do you think that is at right now for him?
Yeah, you know, with Lance, he's such a competitor. That's what I love about him. Whether he's having a good game or a bad game, he's there to compete with the best stuff he has that day. And, you know, things don't always go our way. You don't always have what you think you're going to have at the beginning of the game. But that's baseball, and we're here to compete with what we got that day. And that's what Lance does the best, you know. He's there to compete, and he wants to win with the best of them. So anybody who's there to give everything they got every day, I'll go to war with those guys any day.
Talking with Sebi Zavala, the White Sox catcher, here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Sebi, you weren't in the lineup last night, but Dylan Cease was the ace again. Looked like the guy that we're used to seeing. Six innings pitched, and he was really sharp, seven strikeouts, his best start in about a month. When he is going well, when he is as consistent, kind of reminiscent of last year, what is he doing right, and how much does last night represent maybe the beginning of another kind of run for him?
Right. So what I'm able to see every day is the work he puts in. And even though he hasn't been having good outings, and maybe not the year he envisioned coming in to start the year, but he works every day. He's and you know, you gotta appreciate that, especially when things aren't going great. He's working hard, and yeah, like you said, he had the slider last night. He was commanding his fastball for the most part, and hopefully there's some things he can build off and take into the next start. You know, he's, like you're saying, he is an ace, and he has ace stuff. So the sooner we can get him back and keep him on track, that'll be good for the team.
Sebi Zavala, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes here on a Saturday morning. Sebi, when you look at Pedro Grifol, what has impressed you the most about him from the beginning of the year till now, maybe even from the beginning of spring training? What has been that experience like for you, and what do you see there when you look at Pedro Grifol?
He's always calm for the most part. Like, he's we talked in the off season before the season started, and I just told him I wanted him to be himself, and it's good. He's keeping the team on track. Like everybody knows, we didn't have a good start to the year, and some people could crumble, but he didn't. He stayed on us. He made sure that we stayed on track. We never stopped working as a team. Everyone's doing what they have to do, and not just him, the whole staff. They've done a good job keeping us on track, and as you can tell, we've been playing good baseball as of late, and yeah, he's the right man for the job and to keep us going and turn the ship the right way.
So, Sebi, let's talk for a moment about your journey to where you are right now as a key contributor to the White Sox and a major leaguer. You were a 12th round pick out of San Diego State, and from what I understand, in a really good article this week in The Athletic about your rise, was that it was baseball or the Army, and you weren't quite sure as a senior at San Diego State, and then you get drafted, and you're coming, you know, you've overcome Tommy John surgery, you've overcome issues with a thumb injury, and you are now here where you are as a major leaguer. How unlikely is your ascent to become a major leaguer in your mind, or just something that you don't really think about in the moment and you will reflect on later?
I mean, honestly, I don't really think about it too much, but me personally, I never really I felt like I was going to be a big leaguer. If that's the road that I chose, I felt like I was going to be a big leaguer. Whether it was likely or not likely, in my head, there is no second option. So, was it hard to do? Yeah. And is it harder to stay in the big leagues than to get to the big leagues? I would think so. So, like I said, all of us are working hard. I work hard every day to help the team win. And hopefully what I do keeps me in the big leagues as long as possible. I mean, that's the goal, and I'll never stop working hard and working for these pitchers. So if that's what keeps me in the big leagues, then so be it. If it's not good enough for the big leagues, then so be it. So I don't really think too much into it. If I do my job, everything will take care of itself.
Sebi, David and I thank you very much for joining us. My last one for you is, how has PitchCom change the dynamic between you and the pitcher? I know a number of Sox pitchers began the season calling their own games. How has that impacted you as, you know, the general out there when you're catching games? And what have you done to try to stabilize that situation, make it work for you and the pitcher as well?
At first I was a little hesitant about the pitch calm, but after using it a lot more and with the pitch clock, it actually helps speed up the game. There's less confusion. There's less worrying about stealing signs since you're not putting anything down. And I think it helped the game. I'm pretty sure every pitcher and catcher uses it in the big leagues. Maybe there's a few that don't, but I think there's some pushback. But now I think, as you can tell, it speeds up the game. Fans are more in tune, and I think it helps. I think it took a little getting used to, but once you got used to it, it really sped up the game. There's less confusion between the catcher and pitcher.
Sebi, we'll let you go after this one. I'm very curious about the process, because you get so much credit, and it's so obvious how you prepare for each game and for each team and the work you put in with the starting pitcher that day. And I know a lot of it goes back to probably when you were in college and you had the season where you were injured and you had the luxury of sitting alongside and watching Tony Gwynn, the late Tony Gwynn, the late great Tony Gwynn, make his decisions and teach you the game of baseball and how to prepare. But each day that you start, how did you go about, when does that process begin of preparing for that day's start, and what is it like to go through with a starting pitcher before each game?
Well, I'll just use Gio for example, because I've had him every start, I believe. And like, so after his, let's just say after his start today or whenever, I'll start thinking about who he's facing, what he did well the last game, what we could, I'll just talk to Gio, like what I'm thinking for the next team, how we can attack players, and then I'll watch the upcoming team. I watched their last series, kind of just see how everyone's doing, and I kind of have an idea of what the other hitters don't do well and what our pitcher does well, and just come up with a game plan. Talk to the pitcher how they're feeling. There's a bunch of stuff that goes into it, and not to get into too much depth, but it's just how the pitcher's feeling and what they're doing well, and just using that. Like if the pitcher's fastball is doing well that day, how do we take care of the fastball, or whatever pitch is performing well that day? How do we use that to the best of our ability? And sometimes it goes well, and sometimes it doesn't, and hopefully it goes well more often than not. So there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it, but mainly it's how do we make the pitchers the best that day.
Sebi, thank you so much for your time. Keep up the good work, and best of luck throughout the rest of the season.
All right, appreciate it. Good talking to you guys.
Sebi Zavala, the White Sox catcher, very good week that he has had, Bruce. Two home runs at Yankee Stadium. You're not going to forget a memory like that. He's come a long way from San Diego State and up through the White Sox system, overcome injuries, and now is an asset. And I think the term defensive catcher sometimes gets overused because it limits what he offers all around. But he has been somebody that, you know, has been pretty steady now for a little while.
I think defensive catcher, you know, to get on your point, is overused. But I would call the position a confidence booster position, okay? Somebody that the pitcher has faith in. And, you look back over the years and you see Greg Maddux always wanting to have the second or third catcher catch him because he pitched his own games. He just wanted somebody put up a good target, okay, and keep it down low in the strike zone. So with PitchCom, David, there's an opportunity here over the next 3, 4, 5 years as this evolves that pitchers are going to be much more important than catchers as far as their own way of preparing for games, not waiting for the catcher to plant a seed as to what he wants to throw. So from that situation, you know, we've already talked about how framing and electronic umpires down the road might not be essential. I think catchers are always going to be confidence builders and guys that are behind there to get the guy feeling good about himself. Pitchers can evolve into being more of their own man, I think, during this era.
Sebi Zavala not in the lineup today. The White Sox starting lineup is out for the 110 matchup against the Marlins back at Guaranteed Rate Field. Michael Kopech on the mound against Sandy Alcantara. Wow, that's a great matchup ahead. Let's go over the lineup real quickly, Bruce. Tim Anderson leading off, playing short. Benintendi in left, batting second. Luis Robert Jr. in center field, batting third. Andrew Vaughn's at first base, followed by Yoan Moncada. And then Jake Berger in the lineup at Guaranteed Rate Field. You want to see that? He's batting sixth at the designated hitter. Yasmani Grandal behind the plate, Gavin Sheets in right field, Elvis Andrews at second base, and of course Michael Kopech, 3-5, 4.33 ERA on the mound with a chance to give the Sox another series win against the Marlins. That would be a big victory if they can beat Alcantara on the mound for the Marlins. That's going to be a fun game out at Guaranteed Rate.
You know, it's a lineup that, you know, you didn't expect a lot of those names to be a part of. You know, certainly Colas was the name that we heard from Winter on as was going to be the right fielder. He came up and was certainly not prepared, you know, all the way around. He showed an electric bat at times, but not prepared outfield-wise or base-running-wise to play in the major leagues, even at 24 and having had professional experience in Cuba before he signed as a free agent. So there's a lot of surprises, but I would just say that Berger might be one of the best, if not the best, number six hitter in baseball right now.
I mean, well, he's hot. As hot as he is.
And Grafal kind of hides him there, okay? And it's, you know, the pitcher thinks he's out of the weeds pitching to those top five guys, and then all of a sudden you're facing Jake Berger, who can take you out to left or right field at any time.
Well, I think that's a point well taken, Bruce, which brings us back to earlier in the week when Eloy Jimenez was healthy and Jake Berger wasn't in a lineup because of there was a right-hander on the mound. The explanation from Pedro Grifol was like, "Was if he's not in the lineup, there are eight better guys who deserve it." And I don't think that's always the case when you have Jake Berger on the tear that he's on or the start that he's off to. And so you don't like to have Eloy sitting out another day because you want him back. The White Sox are different with him. But, yeah, Berger needs to play, especially when the White Sox are at home because – what is it, 11 of his 13 home runs have come in a ballpark that he finds very comfortable in hitting home runs.
312-644-6767, that's our number. If you want to talk ball, Cubs, Sox, anything baseball here on Inside the Clubhouse. And David, the two hits by Tim Anderson last night were big for me because I'm used to thinking Tim Anderson, you go to a box score, if you didn't see the game and all of a sudden two hits, three hits, four hits. There's been too many no hits, one hits for Tim Anderson. And I think a night like last night might get him going again. I know he had a four-hit game last week. But seeing him get back up to 300, that's a key for their offense as well. Because he doesn't walk, so you're only going to have about a 330, 340 on base percentage with Tim when he's hitting 300, you know, maybe 350. But it's important that he gets going and becomes the player that we know he can be every day.
Can I ask you a question about Luis Robert Jr. before we break and get ready to talk to Ron Coomer at the bottom of the hour? Luis Robert Jr. is one of these players that for 2 weeks at a time, and we've seen this happen, he is arguably a top, looks like he could be a top 5-10 player in baseball, the tear that he goes on. And then he disappears. And then things go awry, and he's hitting, you know, below 200, and he can't drive people in. And you see examples of him in miscommunicating with Andrew Benintendi in the outfield, and he's a great, great athlete. But sometimes he will drive you a little crazy. He's streaky as they come, Bruce. Did you see that part of his, you know, has that always been part of him? Is that just this season? Why is he so up and down, inconsistent? And because once he masters that part of it, my goodness, the ceiling is enormous.
Anything in the zone, he's going to destroy, okay? So if I'm managing Team X against the White Sox, I'm saying, you know what, if you walk Luis Robert three times trying to throw pitches outside to make him fish, you know, I'm all for it, okay? I don't want you pitching him in the zone too often. I want you to get ahead of the count. If you get ahead of the count on Luis Robert, he's a different hitter. He's a dangerous, dangerous player. I think Grafal said again yesterday, confirming he feels he's the best center fielder in baseball, okay, all the way around. Yeah,
they just got done seeing Mike Trout, and Pedro Grafal is saying that.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not Mike Trout because he's not consistent. But does tools wise, he has as much as Mike Trout has. Okay, the consistency, as you point out, David, you know, and the ability to, you know, understand when they're pitching him out of the zone, getting ahead in the count, occasionally taking a walk. Those are really important things. This is a, you know, the White Sox for a long time now have been a no-walk team. But they were successful in 20 and in 21 being a no-walk team because they hit and they destroyed the baseball. And they had lots of good production in the middle of the order. So from that perspective, you know, Robert is so important. And with the situation going on with Jimenez in and out of the lineup so much, they need Robert more than ever. But again, you know, guys stepping up like Berger, you know, that can go a long way for the White Sox to be productive without Jimenez, productive on days when Robert isn't hitting and striking out.
No doubt about it. And of all the numbers that Luis Robert Jr. has posted this season, 14 homers, 32 runs batted in, you look at the metrics. For me, the biggest one, the most important one, 62. That's how many games he's played out of 65. He's only missed three games, Bruce, and when he is on the field, this is a different team. He stays healthy, the Sox have a much better shot. If Eloy could have that kind of consistency and they both could be available, we saw the other night in New York, the first time ever, shocking statistic, the first time ever, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert Jr., and Eloy Jimenez homered in the same game. If they can stay in the same lineup more often than not, maybe this resurgence is for real. Maybe this relevance will be lasting. I don't know, but they need to stay healthy. That's a key to it for the White Sox.
David, I have a proposal. Unless your father played in the big leagues, I propose that we get rid of the junior after everybody's name and just call them by their given name, like Luis Robert, okay?
Okay.
You know, Mark Leiter. I'm not disparaging them for using it because that is truly their name. But, you know, to be able to differ between Ken Griffey's, you have to use Ken Griffey Jr., right? You can't just say Ken Griffey. But I'm just
the only thing I say counter to that, Bruce, is that at least we all now, most of us, are pronouncing his name correctly because he spent the first couple seasons, he was Luis Robert. And then he was Lou Bob kind of makes sense. That's probably we could go with that. At least people are pronouncing his name correctly, and that at least is progress. Okay, enough White Sox talk. We got to talk to Ron Coomer.
From now on, by the way, David,
yes,
please refer to me as Bruce Levine Jr.
Okay. If you insist, Bruce, Mr. Levine Jr., I will definitely do whatever you want. Because, you know, if that makes you feel more comfortable and it's a nod to what you desire, then I'm willing to comply. Whatever you say, Bruce, goes on this show. So let's talk to Ron Coomer, Junior, the Score baseball analyst for the Cubs. He's going to get up and talk to us on the West Coast. The Cubs coming off a 3-2 victory over the Giants while you slept. We'll talk to Coom next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It's former Cub and MLB All-Star turned Cubs radio analyst Ron Coomer with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score, an Odyssey station.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time now to go out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Let's go out to San Francisco. A little bit morning by the bay. I'm sure Ron Coomer is sipping on some coffee, ready to roll, recovered from a big night last night. Good morning, Coom. How are you?
I'm doing good, David. Brucey, how are you boys doing this morning?
Doing well. We have a couple victories.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's a good morning, Coom, because the White Sox held on the south side, and the Cubs, if people stayed up late, they were rewarded. 3-2 victory. Nico Hoerner with the big pinch hit. Marcus Stroman, 6 strong innings. Again, he went 6 2/3, 2 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. Let's start there. He gave the Cubs enough to get his 5th straight start with a victory. What did he do right? And are we starting to just expect this to be the Stro show every time out?
Well, I don't know if you can expect it every time out, but it sure is nice to see. And I know he's been on a really incredible role, David. When you look at what he's doing, he's got some things. He's got great movement with his pitches right now, too. And even yesterday, that cost him a couple walks where his two-seamer or his changeup ran off the plate. And I really think it ran off the plate so hard that I think it fooled the hitter enough to where they didn't chase it and they just didn't swing, right? And they called the ball and he ended up with a couple walks because of it on a 3-2 pitches. But two things yesterday. He had a great changeup with great movement and depth going down. And his two-seam fastball, to me, has been able to bail him out. Whenever he gets into some kind of jam of some sort, you know, the first inning and the second inning, he got double play balls. And he's able to run that two-seamer in on a right-hander or a left-hander, for that matter, where he starts it in off the plate and hits the inside corner. And he gets a soft ground ball or just a regular ground ball. And the Cubs have been able to turn a pair for him. When you can do that and you can rely on a certain pitch to get outs like that, you're tough. And he has been very good in getting out of what little jams he's in.
So we're taking your top radio analyst job away from you for the moment, and we're giving you a new crown, and that is, well, no, you're getting a promotion, although I don't know if it always is. You're becoming the general manager of the Cubs for just the rest of this show, okay? And you have the Marcus Stroman situation. He can walk away from his contract after this year. Otherwise, he's got another year left with the Cubs. So you're the general manager, Ron Coomer, and you're looking at it and saying, here's what I can do. I can offer you an extension. I can let you decide what you want to do after this year, or I can trade you. What do you do with Marcus Stroman and this team at this time?
Well, I'll say this. If you let him go to free agent, if you let him go through the rest of the season without doing anything, he is probably, I shouldn't say probably, probably walk away from the deal and be back out there as a free agent because of the year he's having, right? He's gonna go back out there on the market because his market value will be extremely high, and you will lose him. To me, it really depends on which way you want to go, and I think the Cubs have proven that they want to go in the direction of getting back into the prominence in the division, playing October baseball. I mean, you know, Tom Ricketts has just flat out said that. Crane has thrown the money out there, you know, from the business side to say that. So then if that's the case, Bruce, then, you know, these starting pitchers don't grow on trees that have done so well. I think you have to, if you want to be a contender this season and really in the next season and continue, you know, starting pitching stuff to find. You've probably got to go after him and try to extend him.
Coomer says Stroman should get 5 and 150. So,
no, he
okay.
did it. Thanks. No, he did it.
Not my money. So whatever you say, I'm good with. It's okay. But you know,
well, it makes a lot of sense, Coom.
That's pretty much David and Coom. That's the deal. Okay, you're not going to get him for less than, you know, $30 million a year after he's making $22 million right now. That's going to be the price of poker, yeah, and it's going to be yours, yep. Right?
I would agree. If you get a starting pitcher who's dominating, you know, that number is a big number. So, you know, it's just the way it is. You're a prized commodity in our game right now, right? I mean, when you can dominate the league from a starting pitcher's perspective, you're going to make a lot of money. And you don't knock a guy for that. It's just that's our business.
It's the price of playing poker, absolutely. Coom,
right.
Let's shift over to last night because I thought it was interesting. Nico Hoerner started the night on the bench because he was getting a rare night off from David Ross. He kidded about how Nico would have taken the news. You're Nico Hoerner, and you're returning back to the Northern California. You went to school just down the road to Stanford. I would imagine he had a lot riding on this series. He probably wanted to be in every inning and taking in every pitch, and yet I think that he responded well to the pinch hit coming through when he had two hits on the night. But, Coom, I want to ask you this. First 30 games of the season or so, Nico Hoerner looked like a guy that had arrived, and, boy, that was a great deal for the Cubs. He has struggled, probably relatively speaking, but in the last few weeks. You have anything that you're pinpointing, anything you're seeing on a consistent basis, why he has maybe tailed off a little bit?
Yeah, I've seen maybe a little difference in the mechanics of his swing that the league is figuring out, you know, some of the holes in his approach a little bit, and where he was able to, you know, do something with that pitch, maybe he's fouling it off. Or, you know, they're pitching him in a spot where he, you know, doesn't quite barrel the ball up a little bit. So I think that's part of it. The other part of it, too, David, is I think there's a mental aspect of it that I'm seeing and that I see with really good players. When your team is struggling, you know, Nico is a young player, so, you know, he doesn't have a lot to fall back on in the big leagues, right? He's only been in the league a short time. I believe the mental side of it is he's seeing the team as struggling on an offensive side, and he's probably trying to do I know he is. He's way too much, right? You're trying to drive in every run. You're trying to do and make things happen that might not be there. And I think David saw that, and I don't care where we're playing, after seeing that in the last series and just getting a little, you know, as David puts it, getting a little blow to just watch the game a little bit. And it's not a benching because he wasn't playing well. It's just, you know, just let's just take a little bit of a breather. He comes in the middle of the game and he, you know, he gets the big hit to win the game. So I just think it's a little bit of, it's a combination of those two.
Ron Coomer, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse, David and Bruce with you 49 to 52 weeks out of the year, every Saturday, talking baseball on the Score. The Cub fans that I talk to are happy about the fact that the Cubs added some veteran players to the team and a veteran pitcher for the next 5 years, but they're confused where they're at, Coom. How would you tell them to look at this team on a daily basis, and what should the expectations be for a team that has veterans but is still trying to compete and also rebuild at the same time? How do you look at that on a daily basis when you're sitting there with Pat and with Zach every day?
Well, I think there's a few ways of looking at it. You know, at the end of the day, if you're a fan, you're looking at it saying, we want to compete. We want to be competing for the division, right? And you want to be one of those teams each year, year in and year out, as a Cub fan, that you want your team to be in the hunt and every year competing for the division. And on the years everything clicks, you want to be playing deep in October, whatever that means. So I don't think you confuse it with anything else. That's just the way it is. That's the expectation. This is a large market team with an incredible fan base, with you know, a team that draws incredibly well. And at the end of the day, you don't have time to really to rebuild the whole group. You know, you might retool a little bit, but this should be a team that an organization that stays relevant year after year after year. Like, you know, there's teams in our league, and one really in our division, that's been able to do that for a long period of time. And that's what I think fans expect out of the Chicago Cubs.
Absolutely, that's the case. And I think that they expect to have the Marcus Stroman question answered the way you answered it. I think they expect to be in the sweepstakes for Shohei Ohtani. I think they expect to be buyers instead of sellers at the deadline in an ideal world. But Coom, I don't know where this is headed, but we'll find out a little bit more maybe tonight. Pre-game on the Score, 6 o'clock, first pitch, 6:35 on the Score in the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Coom, Kyle Hendricks back on the mound tonight, looking for his first victory of the season. What does he have to do tonight that he hasn't done so far?
Well, I don't know if he hasn't done it so far. I believe that he's still, you know, knocking off a little bit of the rust and some of the things that have happened from not pitching David since, what was it, last June or July. So there's some things. Now, the last start, what crept into his issues on the mound, I thought he threw the ball exceptionally well. He had a good two-seam fastball running in. His velocity was up to 88 to 89. And he had a very good changeup with good depth to it. To me, the final thing maybe that he's having a little issue with was pitch clock, right? He had a little issue with pitch clock and had, I think, two or three pitches that he didn't deliver called balls, right? So I think they're going to make an adjustment to that or about that tonight. But in Kyle's interview with Zach, he said, you know, where all these guys had a month of spring training to get accustomed to the pitch clock, Kyle did not, right? So he just got thrown right into the fire of using the pitch clock. So being able to shake guys off and really get to your pitch, you know, you really have to be on your game and understanding your, you know, the communication between pitcher, catcher on what you want to throw. I believe if I were the Cubs and I were Kyle, I would be in control of the pitches tonight. I would have it on him, and I would call my own game. You know, he throws a pitch, foul ball. He presses a button and says, fastball, changeup. and I'd call my own pitch. Now you don't have to deal with shaking off a catcher. I think you just call your own game, and let's just move forward from there.
That's an analyst on all our Cub games on the Score, Ron Coomer's voice. And Coom, in departing, and David and I always thank you for the great participation and fun. There seems, I'm hearing there's a conspiracy with somebody in the booth, not naming names, but I just want you to talk a bit about it, that there's some cheating going on with the attendance game. Is that true or false?
I would say it's true, especially at home. And he has the ginger-colored hair. I don't know.
He's a genius.
The best. Yeah. He's a self-proclaimed genius, too, David.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of Bears thoughts, too, Coom. A lot of Bears thoughts.
That's exactly right, David.
And in this case, exactly. It would be exactly right.
Exactly right. Correct.
Coom, thanks a lot.
Coom, you're the best. Thanks for getting up.
No problem at all. Love your show. I listen every Saturday. So I am. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Ron Coomer headed to Fisherman's Wharf to spend his day in San Francisco. First pitch on the Score, 6 o'clock is pregame right here. Kyle Hendricks on the mound. Interesting point about calling his own game, Bruce. I think that's what the kind of insight you get from a Ron Coomer. Okay, we're going to come back and wrap things up here inside the clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine wrapping things up. Bruce, the White Sox and Cubs back in action today trying to win another game. The Sox to win a series against the Marlins and the Cubs to kind of get back on track out in San Francisco against the Giants. But boy, as tough as it has been at times to watch this season on both sides of town, there's a feeling like, boy, at least they're not the Mets, because they are maybe the most disappointing team in baseball when you look at what they have spent and what they have accomplished. Question to you. The Mets have lost 7 out of the last 10. They're reeling in the NL East. Is Buck Showalter going to be the first manager fired this year?
He might be. He might be. The expectations are off the chart. They went out. They have two pitchers making $43 million a year, and they're not getting it done. I think, you know, Buck got them in the playoffs last year. Buck's been a great manager during his whole career, but there's no question he's going to be on the hot seat here, because the owner is not going to be patient about watching this team struggle all year long. I wouldn't be surprised if that type of, you know, we saw pretty much the same thing last year with Joe Girardi getting fired mm-hmm. early in the year. And that team, for whatever reason, catching fire late and going to the World Series. So I'm not sure. But, David, I talked to you earlier in the week about the Cubs and the White Sox. And I said, can this be and will this be the first year that both teams finished 500 or less since 2014? Because that's the situation we have right now. We've had either a 500 or plus 500 team every year on one side of town since 2015. I'm wondering if hopefully this is not a good trend going in that direction here.
Despite the season the week that the White Sox have had, they are on track to do exactly that, be under 500 as well as the Cubs, and that would be the first time in 9 years. Even though, boy, that's a difficult question to answer right now as the Sox are surging 6 of the last 7. But I still think it's going to be a big climb to get back to 500 and to stay there once if they do get back there. I don't know. I would say probably we're on the way there.
We're not always easy being a Chicago sports fan right now, David.
No. When's the NHL draft,
today,
Bruce?
For sure.
When the Blackhawks drafted number one? Are we going to preempt the show for a Connor Bedard special that Saturday morning? How about that?
We have people to thank, including the White Sox, Sebi Zavala, also Ron Coomer, a great analyst on Cub games. You'll hear the Cub pregame tonight at 6 o'clock with Zach Zaidman, first pitch with Ron and Pat, 6:35. Tyler did a great job. David, as always, thanks for running the ship. People can follow me on my my Twitter at 67 at MLB Bruce Levine and 670thescore.com on my website for follow me writing Cubs and Sox. Have a great week, David.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh for producing this show. Thank you for listening, texting, and calling. Thanks for everyone, and we will be back Monday morning, Mullenhaw, 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Radio. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. David Hall, Bruce Levine wrapping things up. Bruce, the White Sox and Cubs back in action today trying to win another game. The Sox to win a series against the Marlins and the Cubs to kind of get back on track out in San Francisco against the Giants. But boy, as tough as it has been at times to watch this season on both sides of town, there's a feeling like, boy, at least they're not the Mets, because they are maybe the most disappointing team in baseball when you look at what they have spent and what they have accomplished. Question to you, the Mets have lost 7 out of the last 10. They're reeling in the NL East. Is Buck Showalter going to be the first manager fired this year?
He might be. He might be. The expectations are off the chart. They went out. They have two pitchers making $43 million a year, and they're not getting it done. Again, I think, you know, Buck got them in the playoffs last year. Buck's been a great manager during his whole career, but there's no question he's going to be on the hot seat here, because the owner is not going to be patient about watching this team struggle all year long. I wouldn't be surprised if that type of, you know, we saw pretty much the same thing last year with Joe Girardi getting fired mm-hmm. early in the year, and that team, for whatever reason, catching fire late and going to the World Series. So I'm not sure. But, David, I talked to you earlier in the week about the Cubs and the White Sox, and I said, can this be and will this be the first year that both teams finished 500 or less since 2014? Because that's the situation we have right now. We've had either a 500 or plus 500 team every year on one side of town since 2015. I'm wondering if hopefully this is not a good trend going in that direction here.
Despite the season that, or the week that the White Sox have had, they are on track to do exactly that, be under 500 as well as the Cubs, and that would be the first time in 9 years. Even though, boy, that's a difficult question to answer right now as the Sox are surging 6 of the last 7. But I still think it's going to be a big climb to get back to 500 and to stay there once if they do get back there. I don't know. I would say probably we're on the way there.
We're not always easy being a Chicago sports fan right now, David.
No. When's the NHL draft,
today,
Bruce?
For sure.
When the Blackhawks drafted number one? Are we going to preempt the show for a Connor Bedard special that Saturday morning? How about that?
We have people to thank, including the White Sox, Sebi Zavala, also Ron Coomer, a great analyst on Cub games. You'll hear the Cub pregame tonight at 6 o'clock with Zach Zaidman, first pitch with Ron and Pat, 6:35. Tyler did a great job. David, as always, thanks for running the ship. People can follow me on Twitter at 67 at MLB Bruce Levine and 670thescore.com on my website for follow me writing Cubs and Sox. Have a great week, David.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh for producing this show. Thank you for listening, texting, and calling. Thanks for everyone, and we will be back Monday morning, Mullenhoff, 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Radio. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.